Welcome to Flying Higher with host Gina Jones, author of Flying Between Heaven and Earth. Each Sunday, Gina highlights the efforts of conscious people that are empowering individuals with the universal knowledge and the spiritual tools to fly toward their highest potential. Now, here's Gina.
Higher, a weekly internet radio show hosted by Gina Jones, founder of Seeing the Light Productions and author of Flying Between Heaven and Earth. This is Karen Stone, and I'm Gina's co-host for tonight. Flying Higher is committed to sharing with its listeners various ways to lighten up and raise their vibration and their consciousness so that they may be of service to others as we all collectively speed toward the divine cosmic plan for the Earth in the year 2012. In addition to being the host of Flying Higher, Gina is also the author of a very thought-provoking and inspiring book called Flying Between Heaven and Earth, which is now available on Amazon. For more information about Gina's book, please go to www.flyingbetweenheavenandearth.com. And as I said, this is Karen Stone. I'm a co-creative life coach, a writer, a speaker, and a workshop leader. And I can be reached most easily via email at k.stone@mindspring.com. Well, I am very excited about the show that we have tonight. Tonight we have with us Shelley Yates. And Shelley refers to herself as an ordinary woman having an extraordinary experience. As you will learn as we talk with her tonight, because of those extraordinary experiences, Shelley has been traveling extensively for the past 5 years, sharing information and messages she received as the result of going through a physical death experience. She is, because of this, now spearheading a global event that will happen in the summer of this year called Fire the Grid. And I would like to welcome Shelley.
Hello,
Flying Higher. Shelley, are you there?
Yes, hi, Karen.
Well, we're delighted to have you with us tonight, and Shelley is actually coming to us from, is it Quebec tonight?
Yes, I'm in Quebec.
And as part of that extensive traveling that you're doing, that's where we're catching up with you tonight. And before we dig into tonight's topic, I want to invite our listeners to join us by calling in. If you have a question or a comment for Shelley, you can call the following toll-free numbers. In the U.S., that number is 877-270-8714. In Canada, that number is 888-861-3519. We look forward to your calls, so call in if you have a question or a comment. So, Shelley, I find your story very intriguing and interesting, and I'll let our listeners know I actually had the pleasure of meeting Shelley about 3 weeks ago at a conference that was being held in Atlanta, Georgia, called We Are All One, and was just absolutely, as I said, intrigued by your story, and I'm delighted to have the opportunity to have you share that with our listeners tonight. One of the thoughts that I had, why don't we set a little bit of a context, because I have told people you had an extraordinary experience.
Right.
I wanted to find out, before extraordinary things began to happen in your life, what was your life like? I mean, what were you doing? What was the ordinary part of your life?
Well, I was a very unhappy woman. I had had 20 years of sexual abuse, and I was on welfare and Prozac. It wasn't a great life.
It doesn't sound like it was a whole lot of fun.
No.
And so this has been pretty much how your adult life had been going, huh?
Yes, it was always, I used to say I had two ways of living my life. I either was existing it or I was surviving it. So I had two small children, and I stayed on the planet to stay with them because it was unfair to leave. But that was the only reason I stayed.
And I know that having had the opportunity to spend a little bit of time with you, how vitally important your children are to you.
Oh, yes.
And I can see that that would be a highly motivating force for you. And little did you know what would happen in, what was it, November of 2002?
November of 2002. I'm glad I was able to stay long enough to see the transformation. My personal transformation.
Well, it certainly has been an amazing one. And why don't you tell us a bit about what happened in November of 2002 that transformed your life?
Well, at that time, my son was 4 years old, and we were driving to a play date for the afternoon, and my car hydroplaned, and the car flipped over a guardrail and landed in a lake upside down. I was a certified scuba diver and a lifesaver, so I looked at my son and I said, look, Mommy's going to get us out of the car. And when I put my finger on the window, it was an electric window, and within about 3 or 4 inches of that window opening, the window short-circuited and wouldn't go down any further. So it was at that time that the water started to barrel into the car very quickly, and I realized that I went into survival mode, and I realized, okay, I had to swim out of this car, and I had to let the car completely fill with water so I could open the door. So I explained this to my son, and he said, okay, Mommy. And I said, okay, when Mommy tells you to, you take a deep breath, and we're going to hold our breath, and then we're going to swim out of the car. So the water came up over our heads very quickly, and I had hold of his coat and my hand on the doorknob. And as soon as I heard that little pip sound where the air was all gone, or all the air was gone out of the car,
right,
I tried to open the door. And when I pulled the door handle, the door wouldn't open. And so I struggled with the doors, and I struggled with the windows, and nothing would open. So we were completely submerged in water, and I had to act very quickly. So I put my son's body in the back seat of the car, hoping if there was any air left in the car, it might be in the back seat.
So you were looking for an air pocket,
yeah. Yeah, yes, that's what I was doing. And I continued then to struggle with the doors and the windows, trying to get something to open. And at that point, I had to breathe myself. So I took my first breath of air, and when I did, of course, I breathed in the water. And it was like liquid fire burning in my lungs.
So it wasn't the pleasant experience that we hear it to be.
No, lots of people have said that drowning was a wonderful experience, but that part of the experience wasn't wonderful for me. The thing at that point, it was a catalyst for me because I realized my son was drowning too. And I couldn't get out, so I knew I was going to die. And I began looking for his body in the car, sweeping my arms around, trying to figure out, you know, to get a shoe or a coat to hold my son while we died. That was my only driving thought at that moment. And I couldn't find his body, and the more I couldn't find his body, the more panicked I got. Now, I had no God in my life. I was an atheist, and of course very unhappy, so I didn't call out for help. I just assumed I was going to die. And in the height of my panic, I had a calmness, and the calmness came over me, and I stopped looking for my son's body, and I stopped wanting to breathe, because all I could hear was this voice in my ear saying, relax. Relax. Well, you know, this was a shock to me. I figured I was hallucinating. I was on my deathbed. This was, you know, my last thought.
Right.
And this being or this voice was bringing such an incredible calmness. And then it came with information. Sound was in my ear even though I was underwater. But
right.
Then through my chest came a download of information that if I continued to fight the water, I would drown. And what they meant was that my lungs would fill up with water and that the paramedics wouldn't be able to bring me back. But I was on an abandoned road. I had no thought that somebody was coming. However, these beings told me, somebody's coming to help you and your child, and we're going to tell you how to save his life. So at that moment...
This was an actual voice that you were hearing at this time?
Yep. No, there was only parts of it that were, like, it was short sentences were in my ear. Okay. The rest of it, kind of the whole knowing and the understanding of what was happening, was coming through my chest. It was kind of what I call a download.
Right. So and has anything like this ever happened to you before? Not you know, going off into the lake, but hearing something or having this knowingness? Had anything like that ever happened to you before?
No, I've never had any experiences where I've had any kind of paranormal event.
Okay.
And even this one kind of, I thought, okay, I'm dying. So I gave myself over to the water and I died. And three things happened that day while I was in the water dying. Two men were going in opposite directions and they were talking on cell phones to each other. And as they passed that lake, one commented to the other, "Did you see the car in the lake?" And the second man said, "No, it wasn't there when I drove by 2 minutes ago." So they turned around and came back to the site. They said it took them about 4 minutes to get back to the site. The second little miracle that happened was one of the passengers in those two cars was a paramedic. And he'd been a paramedic for 9 years. So when
quite
I got
a stroke
to the
of
site,
luck.
Pardon me?
Quite a stroke of luck.
Oh, wasn't it? So two of the men jumped in the lake and they proceeded then to try to find my body. And it took them 15 minutes to get me out of the car. Well, you can imagine somebody's underwater for 15 minutes.
Your estimate is that you were in the water and it was about 15 minutes.
Well, that's the time frame they validated. They said, "We searched for your body for 15 minutes to get you out." The door was stuck, and then my arm was caught in the seatbelt. So there was a lot of trouble to get me out of the car.
Okay.
And when they finally did get me out of the car, they pulled me up on the side of the road and started doing CPR, but they didn't know my son was still in the car. So they did CPR on my body for 7 minutes. The third miracle of the day happened when I sat up and said, "Get my baby out of the lake." And they went into the lake looking for my son, and they couldn't find his body anywhere in the car. So this third miracle happened, and there was a boom truck, and it came down. The guy was sitting there having a coffee break.
Really?
Came down. He hooked the tow axle to the car, and he pulled the car out of the water, and there floating in the back window of the car was my son's body.
Okay.
So
he was actually out longer than you.
He was underwater for 30 to 35 minutes.
Mm.
Literally underwater. So when they brought him to the hospital, his body was so badly damaged. He was bleeding from every hole in his little body. His everything was flatlined. And the doctor said to me, "You know, you really should unplug this little boy and just let him die, because There's no way that he'll ever come back and be normal and whole again. If he does even open his eyes, he's going to be a vegetable.
Isn't that like 3 or 4 times longer than what they usually say that someone can survive, be resuscitated from a drowning experience?
Well, the average time they say for a child to be underwater and come back without brain damage is 3 to 4 minutes.
Okay.
So my son was underwater between 30 and 35 minutes.
Okay, so that's 10 times.
Yeah, and the longest adult that was trapped underwater was 8.5 minutes that he has terrible brain damage. So the fact that we're having... Pardon me?
You know, I know that your son is with you today. So
yes.
What happened? I mean, he was not in a place where we would have imagined that he could have possibly survived.
Oh, no, definitely. Well, when I went to the hospital, he was so dead, the doctor said, you know, let's just unplug him. And
yeah.
These beings came to me again, the same beings that came into me into the lake and said, you know, relax and give yourself to the water. We're going to help you. They showed up at the hospital, and they said the same thing. We're here to help you. We're going to tell you how to do an energy transfer on your son's body, how to rebuild his auric field. So, you know, here I was wide awake now and hearing voices. And the option was either follow the instructions or unplug my son and let him die.
Wow.
So every mother listening to this knows you have to follow the instructions, which is what I did. And they gave me instructions to rotate loving humans through my son's room for 72 hours. We were to touch his body. We were to talk about our joy. We were to play wonderful, uplifting music, and there was to be absolutely no negative energy, no negative talk at all. And we were supposed to do this for 72 full hours.
Okay.
So I called everybody in my phone list, and they called everybody in their phone list, and for 72 hours we rotated people through my son's room, touching his body, sharing our love, sharing our greatest joys. And the doctor said, you know, this is highly unorthodox. And I said, what the hell do you care? You already said he's dead.
Right. Yeah.
And well, the doctor said, okay, well, fine, you have 72 hours. So for 72 hours, we did exactly as we were told. We used to set an alarm clock. And at the end of the 72-hour mark, he didn't seem to be getting any better. So I was feeling very apprehensive because my time was coming to a close. He at this point smelled like rotten meat, and the doctor explained to me that his body was rotting.
Mm.
And his bowels were passing out of his body into his diaper.
Yeah.
So he said, look, you really should unplug this boy. And I said, no, you told me I had 72 hours. So at the end of that time, say 73 hours into it, I get somebody calling to me, Shelley, come, he's awake. So I rushed down. I went into my son's room, and here he is sitting up. No more blood. The burns that were on his chest from the paddles, the electrical shock, were gone.
Right.
And he smelled like newborn baby. The smell of rotten flesh was gone. And the doctor said to me, your son will never walk, he'll never talk, you know, he'll never do these things again. And within 3 days, my son was walking and talking, and we were watching cartoons in his bed. And within 3 weeks, we were home in our house having Christmas.
So I would assume that you would call this another miracle after those several that happened the day the accident actually happened.
Oh, yeah. Well, these little miracles were all facilitating this enormous, fabulous miracle. Now, the thing was, I didn't want any part of it. I didn't want to be weird. I didn't want to have a mission. I didn't want to be on a radio show telling you this.
Right.
I wanted to go back to my normal life. But these beings continued to come to me and started to tell me about the power of our own creative force inside of us, that we had two parts to every whole human. There was the flesh part of the human, but there was an energy body or a light source that we also had. You know, we can call it the God force, we can call it soul energy, we can call it the being that lives inside of us.
So how did these beings communicate with you?
They communicated.
Or they still?
Well, and they still do. We still talk regularly. They use three different methods. I had whenever they spoke to me in my ear, it was always short little sentences. And then through my chest, I would get downloads of information. And it was information about the universe and the cosmos and our bodies and health and healthy sexuality. And I mean, they talked about so much, I wondered what they wanted me to do.
It's like, wait, should I open a school?
Yeah, what am I going to do? And I remember saying, listen, you got the wrong person. I'm depressed. I'm unhappy. You've got the wrong person. And these beings said to me, what you did for a dying boy with a small group of people, you can do for a dying planet with a large group of people. And I said, well, what do you want me to do? And the first thing they did was give me a date, July 17th, 2007, and they gave me a time, 11:11, Greenwich Mean Time. And they said for the hour following that, from 11:11 to 12:11, that hour is going to be supercharged with divine creative force energy coming from the cosmos.
Did they tell you why?
They said that 2012 is going to be a birth date of a new humanity, and that this date of July 17, 2007 is a catalyst for humanity to absorb this energy, share their loving energy, and raise the vibrant the frequency or the vibration of all participating humans on the planet. And as we raise our own vibration energy on the planet, we're going to allow the cosmic energy then to flow through us. We become a vessel or a conduit. And the energy is going to move through us and into the earth. And then there's going to be a catalyst towards healing for the earth. Because we have a lot of work to do. We have 5 years before 2012.
Right.
To define what type of humanity we want to birth. And what we need to do is get enough human beings in the vibration of love and sharing, and out of the vibration of fear and greed and hatred, and there's not enough for us. So what we're going to do is physically change our vibrational fields on that day. We can assist ourselves right up through to that day. But on this day, that opportunity to change our vibrational field is at an all-time high. And I was contacted by the Astrology Association in the United States, and they said to me, "Where did you get the date?" And I said, "Well, I was given the date by these beings." And they said, "Well, this date is perfect for spiritual happening." And they told me if I'd spend my entire life looking for a perfect date, I couldn't have found it. But here it was.
And you had no history of knowing anything about astrology before this, so...
Exactly.
Yeah, you were just given what you thought was a random date and then had some kind of confirmation that energetically, from an astrological viewpoint, it just really lines up to be a powerful date.
Exactly. And
I want to get back to this in just a moment, but in case we've had some people that have tuned in the last couple of minutes, I just want to take a short break to tell them that they're listening to Flying Higher, which is on BBS Radio Late Night. And Flying Higher is a show that's committed to sharing with listeners around the world ways to lighten up and to raise their vibrations and their consciousness. Now, Flying Higher was originated by Gina E. Jones, who is the founder of Seeing the Light Productions and author of Flying Between Heaven and Earth. And I am Karen Stone. I'm Gina's co-host. And our guest tonight is Shelley Yates, and we are talking about her life-changing experiences and how those have brought her to a place where she is spearheading an event that will be happening this summer on July 17th. So, Shelley, you were talking about the power of this date. Do you know any of the specifics of what would make it so powerful and why it needs to be the specific date?
Well, the Astrology Association that contacted me said that there are 3 galactic centers open on that day. They said that one of them hasn't been seen open for 250 years, one hasn't been seen open for 50 years, and one hasn't been seen open for 75 years, and that all of them are open at the exact same time. So they said, cosmically, they felt that this was the type of day that Jesus Christ would have been born into the world. So I said, well, that's a pretty powerful day, and, you know, I guess they know what they're talking about, meaning these beings. Because I don't know what I'm talking about.
So do you think that this was one of your first confirmations that they that these beings, I mean, do you relate to them as a higher intelligence from somewhere else? Have you ever seen them?
Yes, I've seen them. They're made out of liquid light, and they explained to me that when they come to humans, when they come to people, they come in the form that will best give that person peace and joy and comfort. So many people will see them as angels. Many people will see them as beings that they recognize from their dogma-based religions. And then people like me, well, I was a Star Trek child, kind of a science fiction person.
Right.
So, you know, it was no good to send me angels. They were going to send me something that I could relate to. So light beings bringing me love, I could relate to that.
So they're
shapeshifters. Especially after I saw them save my son's life.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so when you get communications from them, do you usually see them? I mean, do they? How do you know that they have something to say to you, or do they just say it?
Well, they always come when I'm in the bathtub. And I suspect it has to do, yeah, it has to do with the water. But as I started practicing hearing and practicing, because I went out trying to find out how to meditate, trying to find out how to connect. Like physically,
right.
Now I was looking. And once I learned how to connect, the communication came easier. And now I could connect throughout my day. I could feel them. I could experience them. I was guided. So it became kind of living day-to-day guidance.
Can they control, can you control their contact with you? Like, now's not a good time, you can say, come back later?
Well, actually, for about 6 months in a row, they came at 3:33 every morning.
Okay.
And,
that would have gotten my attention pretty quickly.
I sought out a counselor in the field of paranormal, and she said, you need to tell them to come back later. And I said, well, they'll listen? And she said, of course, this is a communication you have going. You know, it's you and them making a we. So we are doing this together. So once I started to learn that I could communicate like this and that I could get my needs met and that I could do what they wanted me to do, the ease and the flow of this communication came easier and easier.
Okay. I mean, because you're taking this kind of energy, obviously in some way into your body so that you can hear it or translate it or get the communication, do you feel like it's changed you on a cellular level in any way, or has there been any change in your physicality because of this and receiving and transmitting this kind of communication?
Yes. I seem to have undergone some sort of rewiring.
Okay.
For about a year, my body vibrated, and I could actually feel the dendrites firing,
okay,
the electricity passing through my cells, and all of my senses became so heightened. I reminded myself, probably like a dog.
Yeah.
I could hear things and smell things that nobody else was experiencing. But the more I underwent this kind of transformation, the clearer I was getting these messages about what we could do to help ourselves as a race of people on this planet.
Well, how did you deal with something like that? I'm assuming that would be rather disconcerting to have all of a sudden feeling the shaking and hearing voices. And how did you deal with that?
Well, it was pretty difficult. I sought out help from doctors, psychiatrists, spiritual leaders. I found myself in Montreal, and in Montreal I met a man named Dr. Stephen Greer.
Okay.
And he heads up the C-SETI project, which is the search for extraterrestrial life in the universe.
Right.
And his assistant, her and I started to talk, and I shared this story with her. And she informed me that she'd been waiting for 15 years. She said an angel had come to her and told her she was going to be part of a project in which 1 hour of time would change the course of humanity and would be a catalyst to healing for the earth. And I remember looking at her and saying, you're crazier than I am. Right? I mean,
it
made no sense to me.
Right.
But she was so encouraging, and she had so many answers because she had been in contact with these beings now for 15 years. So at least I had somebody to ask questions to. You know, what
right.
does this mean, and what's happening to me? So her and I began to work together on Fire the Grid. And
okay.
she invited her husband, and he built the website, and he donated the music. And when she sent me the music that he created, he heard the music in the shower. He was like Mozart. He told me he was divinely inspired. The music came to him from the heavens. And when she
while he was in the shower. And
yeah.
you got yours while you're in the bathtub, so
exactly.
they must all be water signs or something
it's
on the other
water.
Side. Yeah.
Yeah, so he sent me his music. He had something like 14 CDs. And embedded in his music was all the instructions of how to make the site, how to get people to come to the site, explanations about what colors to use and how to reach people's hearts. And I followed the instructions. I followed every single instruction. Now, I followed it reluctantly. At first,
okay.
I was most reluctant. You know, I was doing this out of obligation, not out of love.
Okay.
And so I kept following the path, and I used to say, fake it till you make it.
Right.
Because I really didn't believe my own stuff. Even though my son was playing in my yard, you know, hair was an incredible miracle. How could I doubt my own stuff, you know?
Well, it has to be pretty surreal when you're going, you know, what's happened in my life? Even though you weren't happy before, it sounds like you were rather desperate before. And yet at the same time, you know, I mean, some of this stuff is a little bit, I would imagine, as I said, unsettling.
Oh, definitely. I used to think, this is out there. I must be losing my mind. But I followed the instructions, and every time I followed the instructions, wonderful things happened. As soon as I finished the website, I had a conversation with God at Source. I ended up calling God Light of Grace. That was what gave me the best comfort.
Okay.
So I'm talking to Light of Grace, and I said, okay, well, bring it on. Let's do this thing. You know, I've got everything. I did everything you asked. The next day, George Noy called me from California. And George Noy's radio audience was like 17 million people.
Right.
So once I handed it over, once I said, I surrender to this and I'm giving you my commitment to do what you've asked, the doors just flew open. People invited me to speak, radio shows, interviews. It was absolutely incredible. And the Fire the Grid site itself grew so incredibly fast tremendously huge that my website couldn't stay up.
It kept crashing because so many people were coming to it?
Exactly. It was crashing everywhere. So we ironed out the bugs, and right now we have 10,000 people a day that read the entire site.
So this is definitely something that is striking a chord.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. I want to find out more about Firing the Grid. And when you talk about the grid, is it something that when you close your eyes, you get a physical or some kind of image of what this grid actually looks like? Or can you describe it to me in some way that makes it perhaps tangible, even if it can be made tangible in any way?
Yeah. Well, when I was doing the work with Evan, I saw auric fields around people's bodies. Of course, I didn't know what they were.
Right.
But there were energy fields around the body. And as these beings explained to me over and over, and I learned more and more, they said that each human being has a hexagon of space on the auric body or the energy field of the earth. And that the hexagon the grid, they called it, the earth grid. When we live in the frequency and the vibration of love and sharing, the little hexagon on our grid system is lit up. And when we're in the dense field of, you know, fear and guilt and shame and that type of feeling, it's turned off.
So this is an energetic grid that covers the earth?
Yes.
Okay.
Completely surrounds the earth.
And so each of us has a spot on the grid.
Yes. And they said that the smallest mouse to the most powerful man gets one hexagon of space on the grid. That's where our energy vibrates from.
Okay.
And that doesn't matter how much money you have. You can't buy another one. And they said, you see how equal you all are. And I was like, yes. And they said, well, what's happened is the energy field of the earth is so depleted that the divine cosmic light, the divine source, is not transferring through the field and into the earth itself. So that we're having
It can't get here because there's not a conductor. I mean, is the grid kind of a conductor for divine energy?
We are. Humanity are like lightning rods.
Okay.
The energy moves through us. And when we're in total communication with Source, and when we're living as we really are, which is spiritual beings in human form,
right?
And when we're working with that vibration, the energy of the cosmos flows through us and into the earth, and the energy from the earth flows up through us and out into the skies. So we're like lightning rods or conduits between the two fields.
So if somebody's part of the grid is not lit up at any particular time because of how they're feeling or, you know, their orientation or what's going on for them or whatever, their spot on the grid is not lit up.
Right.
So that would mean that the Earth would get depleted if that was a majority experience.
Exactly.
Right?
And what they said was, we're so dense right now, we're so in the material plane, we've lost our connection so greatly that they can't even see us. Our grid, our energy field, is so dim that they can't even see it. And what they want us to do...
They can't see our energy field? They can't
pardon?
See our energy field. You're saying they can't see our energy field.
They said that the Earth is in darkness to them.
So they can't really find it because that's how heavy the energy is.
Yes. And they said on July 17th, when the energy is comes down to Earth, those that want to participate firing their own field will then fire the grid field, and we're going to have what I saw was the Earth, and little lights went ping, ping, ping as each one lit up, and then the Earth had this global golden light flow out of it, and it kind of burst into this radiant light, and you could see it take a breath of like, oh,
yeah.
And then it was, this was the catalyst. And that once we reach this point, we have 5 years now to reach all the hearts that we just turned on, all the spots that we just turned on. We're going to be able to work with these people to start to create the world we want, we choose to have. And in 2012, when the time comes that we define who we are going to be as we move into the next time,
right.
That this is all part of that defining who we will choose to be, because this is the first time humanity is consciously going to choose the way we move. We're giving a choice right now.
Very interesting, Shelley. I'll tell you what, I want to invite people to call in and ask questions or invite them with their comments once again. So we'll take a short break, and I want to tell people who may have joined us recently that you are listening to Flying Higher, a weekly internet radio show hosted by Gina Jones, who founded Seeing the Light Productions and who is also the author of Flying Between Heaven and Earth. Tonight, I'm hosting the show. My name is Karen Stone, and I'm a co-creative life coach, a writer, a speaker, and a workshop leader. And I can be reached most easily at k.stone@mindspring.com. For more information about Flying Higher, the radio show, you can go to www.flying-higher.com. And if you would like to call in to speak with our guest tonight, Shelley Yates, here are the numbers. Toll-free in the U.S. is 877-270-8714. Toll-free in Canada is 888-861-3519. So please call in. We invite your questions and comments. Now, Shelley, back to you, and welcome again.
Thank you.
I wanted to find out a little bit more about, obviously, you've been traveling around a lot and spreading the news about July 17th.
Yes.
And the firing the grid global event. And a question keeps coming up for me, and I might wonder if you perhaps ask yourself this sometime. Why you? What do you think? Why you?
Well, I asked that question many, many times. One of the first things they told me was, I chose this job. They said
okay.
That on the other side, before we come down, we lay out what we plan to do. So, in essence, I picked what I was doing. But the thing that
I was going to say that must have been an amazing application to fill out.
Yes. But the other thing they said, because I said, why me? Why me? They said, if we can get your heart, if we can get you, we can get anyone. because I was so negative and so unhappy. The fact that I'm on this radio show telling you about how much joy I live in every day. You know, if we don't even fire the grid, if I could just assist people to walk out of their despair and walk into this joy, if I can touch one heart with that, that's amazing.
So I want to get back in a second to fire the grid, but I do want to ask you, what is your life like now?
My life is filled with joy. I never get up in the morning anymore and go, oh, this sucks, I'm still here.
Right.
Which was what my pretty normal morning was. Now I wake up and I see potential in everything. I see joy in everything. But I didn't wake out of that, you know, that near drowning and my life changed. I had to walk the path. I had to practice telling the things that I'm telling you. Finding the joy. Finding gratitude when I have the joy. Listening to uplifting music is really essential to lifting your field out of that place of despair.
Well, is that one of the ways that we can get ready for July 17th? I mean, I feel like this is a big energetic event, mm-hmm. and is there some way to help us each successfully participate in this?
Exactly. And each person can do it in their own way. You can meditate, you can pray. I mean, these are pretty common, you know, we've done them for eons. But if that doesn't resonate with you and you don't feel joy when you do it, then don't do those.
Okay.
Find your joy. Like, so you can hang out with your kids for an hour reading books and singing songs, and that's your joy. And at the end, everybody says, thank you for this hour together. See how blessed we are? And you fire your own grid. And when you fire your own grid and lift your field out of that material plane and into the frequency or the vibration of love, you fire
right.
your own field, you fire the grid field. So they explained to me that no matter what your joy is, you know, sitting watching a ball game on TV is your greatest joy. Well, then do that which brings you your greatest joy. And then with all your heart, say, I'm so thankful for this human experience. This is the only place in the cosmos we can have these experiences. And they even said that if you want, you can use the power of intention. You know, you can write yourself a note and say, I give permission to my soul to contact the grid. Here's my joy, and write it out. And I'm so grateful for my joy, because some people won't be able to get up. But the thing is, whatever you do, do it with consciousness and do it out of joy and love and sharing. Don't do it out of guilt and fear and shame.
So one of the things that I don't know if we've mentioned specifically is that this begins at 7:11 a.m. wherever you are at 7:11 a.m., or is it the different time zones all the way across the planet?
No, we have something like 90 countries signed up to do this. And,
right.
of course, every country is in their own time zone.
Okay.
So in Gambia, it's going to be their time zone. Now,
okay.
if you go to my website and you go to the world clock has been synchronized across the entire globe. It was a gift from a person who does programming, a $20,000 gift. Here
wow.
you go, it's free. And they gave it to me free because everything we've done is free. Nobody's gotten paid, we don't bring any money, and there's no money involved. So he gave us this gift. So when you go to the world clock on my site, it will tell you what time in your area, no matter where you live, as long as your computer is correctly set, you'll have the correct time in your zone, in big blue letters.
Okay.
And when you sit down at that hour, so whether you sit to read books with your children, or pray, or meditate, or whatever joy you're going to choose to engage in for your hour. Listen to great music. Listen to music that uplifts your soul. Bradfield has 30 minutes of free music on my site. You're welcome to take that and listen to it.
Okay.
And when you do that, find your joy and fire your little grid and fire the earth grid at the same time. And the fire the grid thing will happen at the same time simultaneously. You'll know that 90 countries are sitting at the same time, maybe more if we get more. But 90 countries are committed right now. And the World Puja Network just joined us. And they have 5 million people in their network.
Right, right.
And Humanity's Team has joined us. And they have a couple million people in their network. So we have really big teams.
Is there a critical mass? Is there a critical mass for making this
successful day? I didn't get a number. They didn't give me an exact number. What they said was to have they have humans represented throughout the world and gather a mass of humans such as the world has never seen. And
okay.
But they said they have people in every corner of the world, so I figure four people should do it, north, south, east, and west. basically, what they want us to do is represent ourselves globally. And right now, we have such an incredible number of people doing this that we've lost count. Because
you don't have an estimate anymore.
No, it's just gotten so big. And three people did this for free. Imagine after we fire the Earth grid and we're all living in the HUD zone and the frequency or the vibration of love, when the second part of this project comes, which they just gave it to me.
Right. Called, you got a second part.
Yes, it's called Project Cause. And it's the rebuilding of our Earth according to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's going to put food and water and shelter in every corner of the globe, for all divine beings are entitled to this. Just being here gives us that right.
We can actually start moving up the self-actualization scale.
Right.
Out of survival.
Right. Out of survival, which is exactly what's happened to me. I've moved out of survival, and I've moved into self-actualizing, and that is exactly what's going to happen, because the second part of this project is called Global Project Cause. And they're
C-A-U-S-E?
C-A-U-S-E. And what they want us to do is stop breaking up into little causes and to unite under one big cause. And in a couple of years, united under one cause with the money being channeled correctly, from all sources, we could have Maslow's in place for the entire globe within that 5-year period.
So we're talking about a clearinghouse almost. We're talking about a clearinghouse, some kind of clearinghouse of causes that will help extend specific needs and fill specific needs across the planet. Is that what you're thinking when you say that?
Well, see, the thing is, united we stand. Divided we fall. And right now, everybody's trying to do their individual piece. There's many light workers and people, peacemakers, trying to change the world, but they're kind of acting separately, right? So this global project, Project Cause, is going to unite this group of people, because once we have millions and millions of people firing the grid and living in the vibration of the highest source, then when we make a call to these people, they're going to be, yes, of course, let's do this. You know, Fire the Grid was a huge success with three people. Let's make the next part a huge success and everybody's involved in it. I mean,
If someone participates in Fire the Grid on July 17th, can they anticipate or expect any kind of effect, personal effect, because of participating? Have you gotten any information about that?
Well, you may feel tingles. You may feel movement of energy through your body. Don't be afraid. Say stuff like, with ease and flow, I allow the energy to move through me.
Okay.
But the thing is, just like my accident was a catalyst for my change, firing the grid is a catalyst for each individual's change. We're still going to have to put our human in it. We're still going to have to walk the walk. And we're still going to have to practice. But it's going to be so much easier, because they said all those that contribute to firing the grid are going to have such a frequency boost. It'll be like meditating for 10 years. And so it's going to be so much easier to stay in the vibration of love. And we won't have those dips, you know, when you kind of fall into your humanity.
Sure.
So, yeah, we're going to stay high longer.
Okay.
So we can do the work that's coming.
So you're getting the message and the, obviously, instructions through this that we really do have a time coming up that's going to require quite a bit more of us than some of us may anticipate at this point.
there's definitely a shift coming. These beings have told me that physically the Earth is moving into the center of the Milky Way. And they said you can check with astronomers. You know, this is a truth. And with that physical movement of the Earth is coming a frequency shift within our field. And all the indigo children that are suffering right now with high vibration, as we shift into the new vibration, they're going to be more comfortable. These kids are going to move into, oh, I finally feel good.
And so they're going to be lining up more with the energy or energy of the planet or vice versa. I'm not quite sure, you know, if the Earth is vibrating at a lower vibration than the indigos right now. I think that's what you were just kind of indicating.
Yes. Yes, that's correct. And
so
as
by
we
raising,
move in, right, as we
ahead.
Move into the higher vibration, as the Earth physically moves through the cosmos, the vibrations are getting higher and higher and higher. And if we don't assimilate, if we don't start doing the work to get our vibrations equal with our external world, we're going to start to feel badly. But it's not going to be wrath or punishment. It's going
right.
to be physics. You know, you're either vibrating at a rate that the world around you vibrates at, or you vibrate at a lower rate. And when you're in a lower rate, you're going to be feeling uncomfortable.
Right. So what are some other things that people can help them do other than participating on July 17th to help realign?
What you're looking to do is physically change the vibratory field of your own body. Now, right now, we don't have a tool to measure our body, but it's very
right.
shortly coming that somebody's going to stick a probe in your field and go, oh, you're 750 megahertz. And they'll stick it in somebody else and go, oh, you're at 300 megahertz. You must be feeling uncomfortable about now. Now, you can help yourself move out of that negative, dense field, and you can
okay.
move yourself into a vibration which is higher. But that comes from love and sharing and giving is a vibration field of 750. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And when we're in the dense field of, you know, fear and anger and hostility, that field is very slow. And you can physically lift yourself out of it. You can use music. Like I said, Bradfield's music on our site. Mozart made music that physically lifts your field. So seek out that stuff that makes you feel really great when you're listening to it. And then think wonderful thoughts and have gratitude. Each time we practice this, you lift your field. And every time you do an act of kindness, you know, just because you lift your field. And this is the practicing that I had to do for 4 years, really, before I walked this path fully committed to it.
So I'm sitting here thinking, you know, here I am, a person who's been relatively, you know, conscious at the level that I've been able to be conscious for, you know, 20 plus years, 30 years mm-hmm. almost, and I'm sitting here going, you know, I've gone through some experiences like this before. I've been through harmonic convergence. I've been through, you know, several things. And recently I've noticed that there's been a lot of talk about vibrational fields, energy alignment. You know, we've got David Hawkins doing his stuff on that. We've got Abraham. We've got Greg Braden. A lot of people are talking about vibratory fields at this point.
Right.
It seems like that whole concept is reaching critical mass.
Exactly.
So is that part of why July 17th is coming up? I guess it's the chicken and the egg. You know,
well,
has all this been happening to support the ability to be able to take advantage of the July 17th energy date?
Exactly, Karen. We have been waking up for the past 10 years, and they want to assist us make this jump. They want this to be as easy as possible for us.
Okay.
They said that they have already been in form here with us, that they're here to assist us and to guide us. So this date is coming. It's, you know, it's a gift from the cosmos to assist us for the next 5 years while we assist ourselves.
So because it's involved in getting us ready for 2012? Had they given you, or have you intuited from what you're experiencing now, any other information about 2012?
The thing that they told me about 2012 is that it's a birth date.
A birth date.
It's the end of a time, and it's the beginning of a new time.
Right.
And that the energy, that the massive energy that we reach by that date will define and dictate the way we move for the next cycle of time that's been given to us. And it seems to me that 26,000 years is the cycle of time, which is the full rotation of the Earth. And so the next 26,000 years are coming. I mean, they're definitely coming. That's what time does. So how are we going to define the next period? What birth are we going to be, you know, given? What energy are we going to be given to that birth at that time?
So is Project Cause something that is going to be initiated before 2012? I mean, is that going to happen soon after the July 17th event?
That's what's been told to me. Now, like the same thing with Fire the Grid, it's coming to me bits and pieces, and I'm compiling the information, and I'm trying to get it put together so I can present it to you. I'm just a big giant telephone, and now I'm on speaker.
And now you're on a speakerphone.
And now I'm on a speakerphone. Trying
exactly.
to steer. Yeah. And Project Cause is definitely evolving very, very quickly. And I say I hope I have the backbone to carry it, to share the information. It takes a lot of work, I guess, to do it. But now it's a labor of love for me.
Okay.
And I just hope that all my energy, you know, stays with me so I can carry it and share it with you.
Well, I was thinking about that. I mean, as far as being able to carry the energy for something like this, like even the Fire the Grid project, I am feeling at some level that, I mean, what kind of support system do you have around you to help it make it possible for you to keep out there? And you're putting out a lot of energy right now.
Yeah.
And
my family are my biggest support.
Okay.
They've been great with me. But I tell you, Karen, you know, meeting you in Atlanta, you
right.
saw me hugging and kissing people, as many as I could get my hands on.
Right.
Because it's that sharing that has made this project successful. I said
right.
we put no money in. There's been no money paid. There's been no money exchanged. This is a labor of love and sharing from person to person. And when I touch people and when I hug them with my most genuine heart, these beings said to me, once you realize who you are, you can no longer look at any other person and not see who they are, which is
right.
a piece of yourself.
Right.
And that's how we're going to rebuild the world, because once we know who we are, then we know we have to do something to make Project Cause viable, to put
it's a total shift
work.
In perception. It's a total shift in perception once you see that you aren't separate. And
right.
that once you get to that point, you know, would you not feed yourself? Would you not clothe yourself? Would you not
exactly.
shelter yourself?
Exactly. Would
yeah.
you not care for yourself?
Right. And since we're all each other.
Exactly.
And
extend
that outward.
The vibration is what's going to facilitate that, because we're going to become self-policing individuals. To live in negative energy then becomes yucky. You just
yucky.
Feel yucky, so you don't
right.
do it. And then you have to do what your heart tells you to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Shelley, we only have a few minutes left, and I so appreciate the fact that you were willing to listen, because I believe at some point you had a choice whether to listen or not.
I did.
And I, I say, way to go, because...
Oh, thank you.
Because I'll tell you what, if they'd come to me and they'd ask me to listen, I don't know if there, would be enough energy in the world to take on what you've taken.
My baby boy's face smiling at me every day. I did it first out of obligation, Karen.
I
owed
that to you.
Yeah. And then after that, it became a path of love.
Yeah.
And I guess the one thing I want to leave with your people is, if you know, if any of this resonates with your heart, if my story touches you, www.firethegrid.com or .org, the whole story is there. And if it resonates from there and you can share it with the people that you love.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, it was extremely delightful to meet you in person, and very synchronistic that it turned out that I get to talk to you tonight on Flying Higher. I was very excited about it, and I still am. Mm-hmm. And for those of you that are listening in, once again, Shelley, what's that website so that they can stay in contact with this project?
It's www.firethegrid.com/.org.
Okay, so it's both of them.
Yep.
Well, on a personal note, I just wanted to ask you, are you going to call me at 7:11 in the morning from wherever you are on the 17th to make sure that I get up? I'll call you. I'll be
you
glad
can call
to.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think this is something I, you know, I feel very motivated to participate in.
Well, Karen, you know, you can do it in your bed.
Okay, that's
you can feel those great beats and the warm morning and say good morning and fire your grid right in your bed.
Well, I was laughing. I was thinking, you know, you say do something that you like, and I was going, how can I get Baskin and Robbins to open up at 7 o'clock in the morning on July 17th?
Exactly.
Because I would just like to go eat a whole gallon of Jamoke almond fudge ice cream. You know, that would do it for
exactly.
me.
Exactly. See, you got it. Exactly. Yeah.
That's fun for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, listen. We absolutely, you know, thank you for taking the time out from your extremely busy schedule to spend the time with us, and we hope that this has introduced more people to this particular project and to you and to your story, and I know that we'll stay in touch, and we'll keep everyone posted on Firing the Grid, and everybody get up on the 17th, July 17th, nice and early, and do something that brings you joy.
Right.
Yes.
Thank you, Karen.
Oh, and thanks for your time, Shelley. So appreciate it. Blessings
okay.
to you.
Thank you.
So I'd just like to take a moment to our listeners to say thank you for joining us tonight on Flying Higher. This is a weekly internet radio show on BBS Late Night Radio, and it's hosted by Gina E. Jones, founder of Seeing the Light Productions and author of Flying Between Heaven and Earth. I wanted to give you a quick preview for next week when our guest will be Carol O'Connell. Carol O'Connell is an amazingly seasoned spiritual person, and she's also been an active speaker throughout her life. She founded one of the nation's largest unity churches and was senior minister there for 20 years. And she has been recognized as one of the most progressive, influential, and enlightened ministers in the country. And as part of her recent reaching out to people after she retired as a senior minister of the church, she has written a book called The Power of Choice. And this is part of her way of living her commitment to teaching universal principles of creative living to all those that she comes in touch with. And Carol has an uncanny ability to zero into truths that make a difference. So Carol O'Connell will be our guest next week. And this is Karen Stone, and wishing you a great week and good evening from Flying Higher.
You have been listening to Flying Higher with Gina Jones, heard every Sunday night here on BBS Radio Late Night. Gina's latest book, Flying Between Heaven and Earth, is now available at Amazon.com. Join us next Sunday at 7:30 Pacific for another enlightening discussion on Flying Higher.